I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. What do you do after you've sold more than 16 million albums and 18 million singles worldwide, gone multi-platinum in 32 countries, won many awards, including a Grammy, a Latin Grammy, and the Canadian and British equivalents of the Grammy? You might come back from a short break feeling indestructible. That is international star Nelly Furtado singing the title track from her new album, The Spirit Indestructible. It's Nelly Furtado's fifth album and the first in English after Loose in 2006, which debuted at number one on the Billboard Top 200 chart. And she's with us now. Nelly Furtado, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's nice speaking with you.
Now, I understand that your last album was recorded all in Spanish, and I think people will remember it was called Mi Plan. It won you the Latin Grammy. But I heard you weren't so sure about singing in English again at all, and you were even thinking about retiring. Why would you do that to us?
I don't know. I think, it was a lot of fun doing the Spanish one. And right before, I had kind of tried to sing in English again, like around 2007, and then I kind of was really bored with singing in English. It had been about 8 years, so I decided to kind of get off that horse. And after each album, I go through this phase where I kind of question everything, but then the music always pulls me back in. The music always gets me back in the studio doing what I love to do. So that's kind of a guarantee. The music remains pretty pure, which is kind of great.
Just to remind people who may not remember your story, that you're born in Canada, mm-hmm. your parents have Portuguese heritage.
Yeah, they're from Portugal.
They're from Portugal. So mm-hmm. what do you think of as your first language?
First generation Canadian. Okay, so my mother decided to speak English at home with us so she could practice her English as well. So my parents spoke English to us at home, but they put us in Portuguese night school. So we learned, a couple days a week after school, we'd go to this night class and learn Portuguese. So my reading and writing level in Portuguese, was about like grade 7. and then as a teenager, I learned Spanish in high school. So then I just kind of went down that path because I met so many people within the Latin music industry, and it just became a bigger part of my life. So I think mainly in English, but sometimes, depending on who's around, words will pop out in Spanish, or I'll forget somebody doesn't speak Spanish, or, in Portuguese, certain things will come out too. But in general, I generally think more often in English, I would say. Although writing in Spanish taught me a lot, because for the first time I worked with co-writers, because I've always written my own lyrics, but in Spanish, I needed some help to really make sure the poetry was there. Mm-hmm. And it was good for me because it taught me to think about songs in terms of theme and metaphor and things I never think about when I write in English. So I think I took that back into The Spirit Indestructible, this new one, and I feel very proud of the lyrics. I think they're a lot more cohesive than my past work.
Where did the idea come from?
One of the great things about taking a break is you really get to live life again, and you get to experience things in a more slowed down kind of way where you can really receive them. And the time came for me, I was lucky enough to be invited to go on a trip to Africa, to Kenya specifically, about 2 years ago. And I went over there to shoot this documentary on behalf of this charity called Free the Children that works out of Canada, that was started by 12-year-old Craig Kielberger, and they build schools all around the world, and it's very holistic and fresh and different, and I really fell in love with the whole movement. And when I was over there, I just felt this renewed sense of joy, a real sort of affirmation and hope, and started feeling excited about the future, while at the same time I was reading books about the past. I was reading a book by Isabel Allende, actually, Island Beneath the Sea, where she talks about this great moment in history where the slaves that had come to what was then Antilles, what is now Haiti, basically how they fled to the mountains, became Maroons, and overcame Napoleon's army, no small feat, became the first Black Republic. So it's books like this, and also just meeting amazing people, and just feeling faith in the future again. I think that's what my travels and my experiences led me to. And also the title actually was an album title before it was a song title. I was reading a book, and the words flew out at me, you know, the spirit indestructible. And then I wrote the songs.
There are two music videos for this song. The one shows you on top of these really breathtaking snowy mountain scenes, and there's a beach bonfire, and it's very, you know, evocative. But there's another one which focuses, which you are not in at all except for your lyrics, and which seem to be narrating his life perfectly. It's about a man named Spencer West, and he climbs Mount Kilimanjaro using only his hands. And I am not doing justice to it, describing it this. I can't do it. But talk to me about that. How did that come about?
Free the Children has this great movement called Me to We, and it's all about trying to inspire young people, because young kids in schools all across North America from different kinds of communities, they all get together with this essence of, how can I go from thinking about myself to thinking about the community around me? So they have their own speakers, and Spencer West became one of their speakers. He lost his legs when he was 4 because of a genetic disease, and he lived his life, and you know, he never let it hold him back, but at the same time, he wanted to give back more, so he became a speaker for Free the Children. He's since become an author, and he motivates kids to redefine their possible. And he was going on this epic climb that he'd been planning for years up Mount Kilimanjaro, the tallest peak in Africa, to raise money for clean water projects, and also to motivate his you know, all these kids that kind of look up to him to redefine their possible. And I thought, that's the true spirit indestructible. And so you know, they gave us all their footage, and we used it for the lyric video.
There are a number of songs on the album that really seem to have a spiritual dimension. Why don't we play another one called Miracles? How about that? And then you can tell us about that.
Okay. I just really believe you have to take the time to live. And I think when you put that reality that, you know, falling on your face, getting back up again, you know, experiencing life, making mistakes, I think that's essential living. And I like to put that essential living into the song so people can buy the album, listen to the album, whatever, feel the music, hear it somewhere, and feel engaged. I want the music to do something, you know, to the listener. And I think that's what I strive for when I'm in the studio. So yeah, this period of time was incredibly joyful for me the last couple of years. And, you know, I kind of document all the highs and lows in the music. And there's a lot of fun on the records, a lot of big beats, a lot of adrenaline. But at the same time, there's this, there is a spiritual thread running through the record more than any of my albums.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Nelly Furtado. Her latest album is The Spirit Indestructible. It came out on September 18th, and she's with us now. Now, I don't want to stereotype you here, but this is a little bit different from one of your other big hits, Promiscuous, with Timbaland.
Very different.
Which is, all right, so I have to ask, you know, does being a mom have something to do with it? Maybe you don't want to sing about being promiscuous anymore.
It's a different phase. When I did Loose, you know, it was a very different time for me. I think I was coming into my own as a woman, and I was feeling, you know, pretty great. I recorded the album in Miami, and it was a real nighttime kind of record, and I always try to just speak my truth on the microphone, and whatever will be, but of course, you know, it's a different time for me right now, and my daughter's 8 now, actually. Mm-hmm. And definitely in this record, I wanted it to have its own mood. And I even had one song that sounded more like a Loose kind of song, but I purposely put it on the deluxe because it just didn't feel like it fit the theme, because I really believe in albums having a thread. My first album, Monelli's, belongs to the mind. The second one, Folklore, belongs to the heart. Loose belongs to the body. And this one belongs to the spirit.
Gosh, in that end, what else would you like to hear?
I really like the song Bucket List, because I think kind of anybody could relate to it, because like everybody kind of has a bucket list, I think.
Climb a mountain, swim the seven seas. Get your body to look like Hercules. Jump out an airplane with a parachute. Fly up and away on a hot air balloon.
At the end of the day, if we spend all our time trying to get to our bucket list and put love at the bottom of the list, you know, it could be kind of sad.
Have been fortunate to ask a number of other artists this question. Are you worried that your fans won't travel with you on this journey? You've gone, as you said, this journey from kind of mind to body to spirit. This is where you are. Are you at all worried that your fans aren't ready to make the trip with you?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've always been competing with myself. Like, I kind of live in my own musical world. I really don't see music as having boundaries. It's just not the way I grew up, you know, with all the multicultural things I was exposed to. Growing up as a first-generation Canadian and with my friends who were also first-generation and learning about their cultures. So I just make music that kind of suits my whims and fancies. And, you know, I never want to be unrelatable. I never want to be, like, selfish about it with the writing, you know. I always try to make my songs universal. But for sure, you might alienate people along the way. I have alienated people along the way, but that's part of the good part about doing this for 12 years now, because I kind of know, like, okay, you know, you have successes, you have failures and everything in between, but at the end of the day, the music speaks louder than all of that. And when you see people singing certain songs at your shows, it always makes you feel better, you know?
Talk to me about Believers. That's the final cut on this album.
It's called Believers Arab Spring, and I literally wrote it about 3-4 weeks after the Arab Spring began. I was just moved. I was really moved by the Libyan revolutionaries on TV, and I thought in my mind, this song comes from the perspective of a young man or woman heading off into the battle, a civil war, something that I really cannot imagine because I grew up in Canada. You arrive at the battle with your best friend by your side, and then, alas, at the end of the day, you turned your side, and they've chosen the other side. And the song asks, where are all the believers? Where'd you go, my friends?
To the album?
Passionate reaction, which I love. Just passion, and I want people to need the music. If they like it, I want them to need it, need to play it, because that's how I respond to music I really love. I just need to play it in my car. And music is soul food, and I think you find the hungry people wherever they are.
One of the things I heard you say, though, in a previous interview is that when you started on the scene 12 years ago, you were bringing all these different sounds to the table, on all these musical heritages and inheritances to the table. And for some people, that was very new. Now a lot of people are doing that. There's a lot more acceptance. Do you feel more acceptance now for your vision than when you started out?
I so do. I was in, you know, was in the restroom at the last place I was at, and I heard the Psy hit Gangnam Style, and I turned to my friend and I said, you know what? This is my world now that I'm living in. There's Korean on mainstream pop radio in America. I love this because that's the world I grew up in. So when I came out with my first CD, it was like, yeah, why not have a bossa nova influence song? Why not feature Caetano Veloso and work with Asha Bolsa from India on my remix? You know, like that's the world. That's the musical world I live in. So I do feel like the world is kind of caught up, and this beautiful world we live in now is you can access everything. There's these borders are crashing down, and I think it's incredible.
What's next for you? You've done this, the fifth album. You've come back to English, and I think your English primary fans are very grateful, even though I think a lot of people love Me Plan. So what's next for you?
You know, I want to record in other languages again. I'd like to do a follow-up to my Spanish album, and I would really like to do a Portuguese album. So we'll see, you know?
Well, no rush. Just don't forget us. Just don't forget about
us. I won't forget you.
Nelly Furtado is a Grammy-winning singer-songwriter. Her latest album is called The Spirit Indestructible, and she was kind enough to join us from our bureau in New York. Nelly Furtado, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for talking to me, Michelle. It was great speaking with you.
Through my 1 square foot window, I see outside of the chains on my feet, but not in my mind. I've been dancing all day, see the sun outside. Don't know how long it will be. Can't stop me. The spirit indestructible. A heart that loving was made for.
You've been listening to the title track from Nelly Furtado's new album, The Spirit Indestructible. And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bridget Armstrong, Freddie Boswell, Bridget DeShegas, Andrew Limbong, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our intern is Azmi Abusam. Our editors are Alicia Montgomery and Ahmad Omar. Our special thanks to NPR's librarians. Our director is Arjun Hutchins. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Neil Tevault with audio engineer Sean Phillips. Our special thanks to engineering supervisor Kevin Langley. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. Our executive producer is Tashima Walker. And remember to tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also find our podcast there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.